This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. When you think workplace diversity, do race, ethnicity, and gender come to mind? What about generational diversity? Does the place where you work have a wide range of ages? And does that present challenges? Scott Zimmer will discuss bridging the generational divide during the annual Respecting Differences program in Kalamazoo. Zimmer, a generational expert and keynote speaker with Bridgeworks, will speak at Chenery Auditorium Wednesday morning at 9:30 and again at 2 o'clock that afternoon. Scott Zimmer, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a little bit of background on both you and Bridgeworks.
All right. Well, I've been with Bridgeworks for going on a little over 3 years, actually, and I'm one of their keynote speakers. Bridgeworks, we're located in Minneapolis. We're a generational research and consulting company, which I did not know existed until I came across them. But essentially what we do is we do primary and secondary research on the topic of generations in the workplace and in the marketplace. And I'm one of the keynote speakers. So a lot of what I do is traveling around the country, speaking at different organizations about bridging generational divides between baby boomers, Generation Xers, and millennials, talk about some of the different characteristics we have, our traits, preferred work styles, and more importantly, where do they come from? Where do we develop these very distinctive traits? And then what can we do when they can cause some conflict in the workplace?
So let's go through those generations one at a time and talk about how, at least in broad terms, and we know it doesn't apply to everybody, but how in broad terms they like to approach work, the baby boomers.
Baby boomers came up in a time, they got their name because there was such a huge population of them. They were 80 million when they hit their peak. So when they entered the workplace, baby boomers needed to stand out. You know, how are you going to stand out in a sea of other baby boomers? So in order to do that, it was really about stepping up your game when you have a boss who is a traditionalist. So it was about getting to work before the boss got there. You don't leave until after the boss left. You don't leave until the job's done. It was, for this generation, really turning the 40-hour work week into the 50, 60, 70-hour work week, which I'm always quick to thank a boomer for that because I'm glad that trend still stuck around. So for boomers, it was really about face time and professionalism. Many of the Xers, Generation Xers, such as myself, we came into the workplace and we said, you know, once we were just a little bit more efficient with our time, so we don't have to stay here all night and I can get home and have dinner or pick up my kids or go to the t-ball game. And just as people were really wrapping their mind around that, in come millennials, otherwise known as Gen Y. And this is a generation where it was work-life integration. And it wasn't just about keeping the two separate. It was the fact that we're always connected. And they looked up to people like Mark Zuckerberg in terms of what a CEO could look like. So it was more results-oriented work. There was less of a focus and an importance put on formality and more about results-oriented work. Am I getting the job done? If I am, does it matter how many hours I'm in the office? Does it matter what I wear when I go to the office? Those are three very distinctly different ways of approaching work that the generations have that in and of itself can cause a lot of conflict.
As a Gen Xer myself, I say that I sometimes wrestle with the whole issue of being connected and at the same time wanting to take advantage of the fact that technology allows me to do work at home, for instance, and I can sort of be flexible. But does the conflict sometimes come in that because you can work at any time, anywhere, that means that you can be called upon to work anytime, anywhere, maybe when you don't want to?
Exactly, yes. Because we're always connected. For instance, when you go on vacation, you don't come back and have to sort through dozens up to 100 emails. You can get them while you're on your trip. You can answer emails. You can do that next to a pool. You can do that in your bed at night. And a lot of millennials will say that, hey, to them, it doesn't look like I'm necessarily working, but I'm writing documents. I'm returning emails at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, whether I want to or not. And that was something boomers really didn't have to contend with when they were in the workplace. Once you're punched out, once you're not at the office, for them, a lot of times, you're done. You're at home, and the day doesn't start again until the next day. And that line is a little bit murkier now for a lot of generations.
So when we have a staff which is made up of baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials, which is actually what we have here at WMUK, can that cause conflict? Can there be times when different people have different work styles and that those may clash at some point?
Absolutely. And I like that you're using the word clash, because it's important for me when I'm up on stage to let people know that one approach isn't necessarily right and one isn't necessarily wrong. It's just we have a different way of doing it. How do we contend with that? How do we reconcile that? You look at Xers like you and I, we came up in a time when, if you look at our formative years, you know, roughly our teenage years, adolescence, we're going through brain development. What's happening at that time in our lives is a pretty profound and lasting impact on how we see the world. And it really shapes our traits and our work styles. For us, we came up in a time when the divorce rate in the country more than doubled. It hit its peak in 1975. So we had a lot of parents who were divorced, friends who had parents who were divorced. More women were going back into the workplace. So we were a generation of latchkey kids. We had a few hours every single day after school where we did our chores, did our homework, watched TV, played Nintendo. Whatever it is we did it without supervision. We did it without somebody praising us. We did it without micromanagement. So now that we're in the workplace, we tend to really approach work in a way that's, let's not have so many meetings. I don't want to hold hands throughout this whole project, but let me get my work done. Let me shut the door. I don't need to make everything we do a group activity. Millennials came up, for instance, in a post 9/11 world where parenting changed, education changed. This is a generation that was really encouraged from a young age to collaborate. It was all about collaboration. If you think back to, for millennials, their classrooms had posters that were all about two heads are better than one. There's no I in team. You know, actually, we were told if you want something done right, do it yourself. So we have these millennials coming into the workplace who want to collaborate. They weren't always brought up to believe that, you know, if we put our heads together, if we work together, we're going to get the best result. And that in and of itself creates a lot of conflict right there. So it's really understanding how do your colleagues want to work. You know, if you're working with a Gen Xer, be cognizant of how many meetings you're scheduling. And for millennials, don't just set them off on these different projects where they're going to have to work by themselves when they really crave the opportunity to work with other people. So that in and of itself is one of the biggest conflicts with us Xers, because we sometimes have to step outside of the bubble and allow ourselves to work with other people.
So how do you work through all of that? You know, when you have these very different styles of approach to work in one workplace, sometimes maybe even on a relatively small staff, what's the key to getting through those so that you have a cohesive unit, shall we say?
It's recognizing that one size doesn't necessarily fit all. One thing I'll work with companies on is, especially when I'm working with managers and senior leaders, how do you deliver feedback? What does a review session look like? And one of the biggest mistakes we make with that is we tend to deliver feedback the way we would want to receive it. And that's not going to work across generations. Our goal is to make sure that feedback is heard, understood, get people excited about improving. So how you would deliver feedback to a baby boomer, for instance, is going to be completely different than how you do it with an Xer versus how you do it with a millennial. Just a quick snapshot. For boomers, it was all about formality. They really perfected the art of that quarterly review, annual review, where it was formal, one-on-one, you get your feedback, great. Xers, we were more about transparency. You know, you don't have to use flowery language like area of opportunity. You know, just tell us what's wrong, how we can improve, how does this affect my paycheck, moving on. And millennials, it's a little bit different. This is a generation that came up during a time when, you know, participation awards abounded. So they grew up with social media in their formative years. So they collected likes. So they don't just want to hear about what's wrong. They want to hear about what's right. What's going well here? What am I doing right? Now where can I improve? And they want feedback immediately. It's all about instant access. They've had that since they were young. And they don't want to wait 6 months to a year to sit down and find out everything that's going wrong. They want to know instantly, how can I improve now, here, in the moment? So to answer your question, it's just about recognizing what is the generation I'm dealing with. And I can't just have a blanket style for everybody. I can't just do what works for me. I have to recognize what will work best for that particular colleague or employee.
Ken, having multi-generations represented on your staff be a strength at the end of the day for your company or place of work?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because you're pulling on the strengths. You're pulling from the strengths of each of these generations. We all excel in different areas. And something I tell companies all the time, especially with millennials, because they are still considered the new kids on the block, they're the generation that really has to contend with a lot of negative stereotypes. We talk to companies about, are you utilizing their strengths? Are you utilizing their talents? And it's those companies that aren't, that are really falling behind. By 2020, half the workforce in the country is going to be millennials. 2025, 75% of the workforce globally is going to be millennials. And they're still treated as students sometimes in a lot of different companies. Millennials want to do important work early on. They want to have a voice. They want to be heard. They've had that since they were young. They were always encouraged to speak up and to share. And we find that a lot of companies aren't taking advantage of that. And every generation brings those different strengths to the table. I had a company the other day ask me, Scott, do millennials use the Yellow Pages? And the fact that was a question that had to be asked told me that you're not pulling from the strengths of the millennials in your company right now. So yeah, there's a lot of advantages to pulling from the strengths of each generation that you've got within the walls of your company.
Scott Zimmer, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Gordon.
Scott Zimmer is a generational expert and keynote speaker with Bridgeworks. His address, called Bridging the Generational Divide, will be given at Chenery Auditorium Wednesday morning at 9:30 and again at 2 o'clock that afternoon as part of the annual Respecting Differences program in Kalamazoo. For WMUK's West to Southwest, I'm Gordon Evans.